This is Dr. Chad Edwards, and you are listening to podcast number 46 of Against the Grain. Are you tired and fatigued? Are you frustrated with doctors because they just don't seem to listen? Do you want to fix your pain without surgery? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then we are the clinic for you. We offer prolotherapy, PRP or platelet-rich plasma therapy, and stem cell injections, IV nutritional therapies, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and functional medicine to get you back on track to optimal health. Call our clinic at 918-935-3636 or visit our website at www.revolutionhealth.org to schedule your appointment today.
Welcome to Against the Grain Podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards, where he challenges the status quo when it comes to medicine. We get into hot topics in the medical field with real stories from real patients to help you on your way to a healthy lifestyle. Get ready, because we're about to go against the grain.
What up, what up? This is the super tall Marshall Morris here with Dr. Chad Edwards. He is a U.S. Army veteran. He's a certified, board certified family physician, and he is an author. He owns revolutionhealth.org. Dr. Chad Edwards, how are you doing?
I feel well rested today.
You feel well rested, huh?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Is that why you're in such a good mood?
Maybe.
Okay.
I'll tell you, the last couple of nights I have slept so good. I could probably use a little bit more, but two nights ago, there could have been a bomb go off and I wouldn't have heard it. But you know, we had some storms earlier in the week, and we had thunder, and I've got a dog that's afraid of her shadow, and she hears thunder and she turns herself inside out, and so her head was rammed up in my face. I mean, it was just, so I didn't get a whole lot of sleep that night, but I was still doing okay. And then the night before, man, I was out.
Okay.
I woke up just thinking, that was some bomb sleep. It was awesome.
It just felt great.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're talking about sleep. What are we talking about today?
Sleep.
Okay. So you mentioned to me there's 12 kind of steps here, or 12 steps for good sleep or good sleep hygiene. Or there's been a lot of ways to describe it in the past. But
yeah.
Get into, why is this such a hot topic? Why is this such a big issue?
Well, the first thing, you know, and we need to do a podcast on this, but often I'll focus on what I call the healthy trinity. And when we appropriately or maximize each of these three components of the healthy trinity, and I don't remember how much we've talked about it in the past, but you know, it's exercise, nutrition, and what I call the three R's. The three R's include rest, sleep, recovering from exercise, and reducing stress. So those three things. So rest is basically what we're focusing on today. It's one of those three R's in that healthy trinity. So when we optimize those things, people tend to do better. They feel better. They look better, but they perform better. Athletes that don't get enough sleep, they just don't have, they're not going to, you know, perform at their highest level. And then when you consider, you know, listen to the adrenal podcast, where we did a couple of few episodes or podcasts ago, you know, some of these things, we are in a 24/7 fast paced society, and we will crash if we don't get sufficient rest for how we are trying to perform. In the Army, you know, I was in special operations a lot. And one of the ways, you know, we can't replicate the stress of combat. There's a lot of stressors that you just can't replicate. So you have to stress people in other ways to get a better idea of how they're going to perform. You know, Navy SEALs through BUDS, you've got Hell Week, where they basically, you know, they get like an hour or two of sleep or some ridiculously low amount of sleep for that week. In Special Forces Assessment Selection, you know, which is my lane, you know, we didn't get much sleep. We were only afforded 4 hours in which we could lay down to sleep. That doesn't mean you got 4 hours sleep.
Right,
that means you got 4 hours in which you're not going to get in trouble if you're caught sleeping. It's a stressor. Some people do well, some people don't, but it is a major, major, major stressor. In fact, at one of my medics when I was in fifth group, he talked about being at SEER school, which is survival, evasion, resistance, and escape. And during their resistance portion, you're sleep deprived during this period of time. And he remembers standing in formation and looking at somebody else's back and seeing grass grow on this guy's back. He was hallucinating because of a lack of sleep.
Mm.
So a lot of my patients come in and they are not sleeping well. It's an incredibly important component. And when you sleep well and you are well rested, you're better able to handle the next day's events, stressors, you know, whatever it is. So sleep is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly important, and a lot of people aren't getting enough of it. And so this is 12 steps to a better night's rest, 12 steps to better sleep.
It's pretty hilarious because we talked the upper respiratory infection in the past,
and right.
You know, throughout my years playing basketball or going up to Ohio for school, you know, I'd develop a cold, or I'd be, you know, my muscles would be fatigued, and my dad, being a cardiologist, I'd go, "Dad, man, I just can't, you know, I'm feeling, you know, worn out, or I have this cold." And without fail, his prognosis, what he would tell me to do, he goes, "Well, it sounds like you're not getting enough sleep. Upper respiratory infection. You're not getting enough sleep. Right. I'm tired. You're not getting enough sleep.
Right.
I hurt my knee. You're not getting enough sleep."
Right.
He just is this constant thing. And I say that to kind of pile onto what you're saying is, would you say that the majority of people are not getting the appropriate amount of sleep, or would you say they are?
Well, hard for me to say, speak across the general population. I can tell you in my practice,
yeah,
it's rare that someone gets a good enough sleep.
Okay.
Some do, but the vast majority, no.
Okay. Vast majority, no. And we have 12 steps in terms of getting better sleep. Okay.
Yeah.
How to get better sleep.
Yeah, exactly. So tell me, how is your sleep?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I feel tired.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I slept maybe 4.5 hours last night.
Okay. Now, you can get by on that.
Sure.
But I would argue that it's not enough.
Sure.
For optimal performance.
Sure.
You know, we like optimal, Marshall.
Well, yeah. In everything that you do, you talk about the Trinity, and the Trinity is in order to get you to optimal performance.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that is our focus in our clinic. We want optimal performance.
Sure.
That's why we don't care about normal. We want optimal across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So the very first thing is, what time do you get up in the morning?
I usually get up between 3:30 and 4.
That's early.
It is pretty early.
What time do you go to bed?
I like to be in bed probably about 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Last night, I had some work to do, so I was going to bed about 11 o'clock.
Okay. So do you get up at the same time and go to bed at the same time, even on the weekends?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Which is easier for you to control, getting up or going to bed?
Probably getting up.
Okay. And I would say that that's true for most people.
Right.
Some patients will come into the clinic. So the first step is get a regular schedule, a regular sleep schedule. Go to bed at the same time, get up at the same time, and now we're going to argue even on the weekends. So the hard part is controlling what time you go to bed. The harder part is controlling what time you go to sleep. I have been very blessed that when my head hits the pillow, I'm out. I mean, most nights I don't remember my head hitting the pillow. I mean, it's just
sure.
Within seconds I'm out. I mean, I don't understand why I sleep so. Go to sleep so easily. It's rare that that's not the case. But it's in, at least in my practice, it seems that that's like very rare that that's the case. I have had a period of time in my life that was very, very stressful. And I mean, it was probably the worst experience of my entire life. And I had about a year and a half, where I did not sleep well, and I understood why, and I couldn't fix that. And you know, I was told at one point I needed to go on an antidepressant, and I didn't need an antidepressant. I needed all the crap to go away. So anyway, so going to bed at the same time, getting up at the same time. You can control what time you wake up. You can't necessarily control what time you go to sleep much, you know, but you can control, you know, kind of what time you go in and lay down.
Sure.
For people that have a lot of trouble with sleep, they need to go to bed at the same time and get up at the same time every day, Saturday and Sunday included, 7 days a week.
So for people that say I have a busy day, you know, ahead of me, do you recommend going to bed even earlier, or why is regular schedule so important? Does your body get adjusted to that, or
yes?
Or, okay,
yeah. The more you shift out of a rhythm, the more difficult it is. And I have a post on my website where I go over all of this.
Okay,
and it's revolutionhealth.org/sleep. And that's the URL for this, and we summarize everything. But I have links to research on each one of these pieces. So if you want more information on these and where does this data come from, that's where to find it.
Okay. So that was the first point. What's the second?
So the next one is, have you ever tried to push a rope?
I don't think that'd work.
Exactly. Sleep is one of those things that you almost have to sneak up on.
Okay.
The harder, I'm sure you've done it. Most of, you know, all four of our listeners have probably done it. you know, if you have something stressful the next day and you're like, oh, I got to get a good night's sleep. I got to go in and lay down. I got to get to sleep as soon as I can. And if you start thinking about it, I got to go to sleep. I mean, how likely is that?
Sure.
I mean, it's just, then you start stressing about going to sleep or not going to sleep. And well, now I'm not going to get enough sleep. And it's like this vicious cycle. So just like you can't push a rope, you can't force sleep. So step number two is don't force sleep. Go into your bed, lay down, and I would give it 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. If you're not asleep in 15 to 20 minutes, you need to get out of bed and do something else. People that are tossing and turning all night, it's you begin to set associations. So when you lay down in bed and you start stressing about sleep, now sleep becomes a stressor, and stressors can make it difficult for us to fall asleep. We got to break that cycle. You go in, you lay down. If you're not asleep, you get up, go do something else.
And then if you're going to bed and you're stressing out multiple nights in a row, then you're creating that association with stress in your bed.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So step number one, regular sleep schedule. Step number two, don't force sleep.
Cool. What's number three?
So number three is really kind of a bigger category. Don't smoke.
Okay.
But specifically, don't smoke in the evening. The nicotine can be activating and it can help ramp you up a little bit. And so for anyone that smokes, if you have to smoke those awful, horrific things, number one, don't do it around me because I can't stand them. Number two, don't do it in the evening because it's activating and it works against you trying to go to sleep. And some people have a real problem with that. Some people don't, but some people do.
Okay. So one of the things that if you must smoke and you shouldn't have to smoke, period.
Right.
Don't do it in the evening because it could be keeping you up.
You got it.
What's number four?
Number four, and this sort of kind of goes along with it. How much coffee do you drink?
Man, I used to drink a lot. I used to drink two pots of coffee every day.
Holy crap.
I used to live down in Costa Rica, and man, was the coffee good.
I didn't know you lived in Costa Rica.
Yeah, man, Costa Rica. And I would put a pot on in the morning and I'd drink it by lunch. And then I'd drink a whole pot after lunch. Wow.
You know, I hear they have a really rich coast down there.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So step number four is no caffeine after lunch. So that pot of coffee after lunch,
probably
ixnay on the offy cake.
Okay.
So no caffeine. And that includes other things. There are some natural sources. Remember, caffeine is an activator. So just like nicotine, it can activate and ramp up your system. And if you're getting, you know, a big Mountain Dew or a coffee or an energy drink or something like that, you know, at 7 o'clock in the evening, that may be just enough to kind of ramp you up and keep you from going to sleep.
Let me ask you this. A lot of people that I'll work with or my friends, they'll have one of those energy drinks or a Mountain Dew or a cup of coffee, maybe before they leave work or in the afternoon, kind of get them over that hump.
Right.
What would you suggest as a healthier alternative to the caffeine that they're searching for to kind of ramp themselves up?
Well, I would almost recommend, at least initially, a caffeine detox.
Okay.
Get off caffeine completely and see how you feel. I had someone in my clinic, somebody in my clinic just the other day that said they recently came off caffeine just because they wanted to be healthier.
Mm-hmm.
So they felt that detoxing from coffee was one of the ways that they could do that. So they stopped caffeine, and within 2 days, they said, I could not believe how much better I felt across the board.
Is there tolerance associated with caffeine? Is
absolutely.
That a thing? There is?
Absolutely,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so caffeine, number four. What's number five?
So number five is, I don't know if this is too personal. Do you drink any alcohol?
I do drink alcohol.
Do you drink a lot?
I don't drink a lot of alcohol.
Do you ever have to have like an eye-opener in the morning?
Not that much alcohol.
Do you ever feel like you should cut down?
I don't feel like I... Probably. Probably at some point.
Do you ever get annoyed by people asking you, are you drinking too much?
I've not. And thankfully, I've never had a problem with it. But I do enjoy, you know, having a glass of scotch in the evening.
All right. That's cool. So what do you call that glass of scotch in the evening?
Maybe like a nightcap or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, just kind of, you know, right before bed or kind of winding down or something like that. So those nightcaps can actually interrupt sleep. Alcohol does, I mean, in some patients, I mean, some people, they do go to sleep, but it is not good restful sleep. So it can inhibit the whole awesome sleep architecture that we're trying to go for. So step number five is no nightcaps. Okay. Don't have that alcohol right before bed. That it can help you sleep. It's not the sleep we're looking for. And it can also, you can kind of, I don't want to say dependent, you know, develop a dependence to it, but it it can make it where you kind of feel like you need that. Now we're starting to have a little bit more of a problem.
Whether it's psychological or your body becomes accustomed to it, it develops that need for it.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Number six, we're getting to the halfway point here. What is number six?
So, you know, how much do you exercise?
I exercise probably about 3 or 4 times a week playing basketball.
So in the evenings?
Yeah.
Okay. So not 4 o'clock games. In the morning when you're getting up?
No, 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's some intense basketball right there.
Sure. Marshall. Sure.
Where are we? Step number six, that is, we think exercise is very good and can actually help with sleep. 20 to 30 minutes of exercise has been shown to be very beneficial, but you want to avoid doing that within the last 4 to 5 hours before sleep. So if you're going to go to bed at 10 or even 9, then the recommendation, if you're having trouble sleeping, is don't do that within 4 to 5 hours of sleep. So, you know, 4 to 5 in the afternoon, if you're going to bed at 9, is when you need to be stopping those kinds of activities.
Why is that? Is that just the body is getting too ramped up, you know, getting the heart rate up before bed?
Yeah, it's the activation.
Okay.
You know, you're increasing your metabolism, you're increasing your, you've got all this catecholamine surge and all those things, and it takes a while for that to wind down. Now, I've in the past been able to exercise basically, you know, 30 minutes before going to bed and I didn't have any problem, but again, I sleep pretty well. So it doesn't mean that you have to do this in order to have a good night's sleep. But if, you know, for our 4 listeners that are having trouble sleeping,
sure,
then these are great things to consider.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into steps 7 through 12 to have better sleep.
Boom. Vertical Limit Fitness constantly strives for better. Better mind, function, fitness, capacity, and community. They accomplish this through bodyweight bootcamp style classes and high-intensity functional fitness classes. From group classes to private training, Vertical Limit Fitness elevates your health and wellness while helping you become able to do anything and prepare you for everything that life may bring along. Call 918-409-1633 or visit their website at www.verticallimitfitness.com for more information and to sign up for elite classes.
Okay, we are back and we're talking about the 12 steps to get better sleep. If you're having trouble sleeping, here are 12 specific things that you can do to achieve that better sleep. And we're on number 7, okay? So we're getting into it, the second half here. Dr. Edwards, what is step number 7?
7 swans of swimming.
7 swans of swimming. Okay.
Step number 7. Sorry, I couldn't resist that one. So step number 7, it just sounded like the Christmas thing, right?
It felt right.
Christmas in May or June wherever we are. What time do you eat? You go to bed fairly early, or you try to. What time do you eat dinner?
There's a couple things here. I try to either eat dinner like on my way home from work.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's oftentimes, maybe I'll have a late lunch, then I'll have a basketball game. Don't want to eat right before the basketball game.
Sure.
By the time the basketball game's over, it's like 8:30-ish, and sometimes I'll just, you know, wake up early and have my dinner in the morning.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
So no dinner.
Okay, cool. So are you ever really hungry right before you go to bed?
Yeah. So it's either like that or, so it's either like go to bed hungry or like have to put on clothes, go out, find something to eat or something like that because I can't cook. So that's the thing.
You can't or you won't.
Well, it's probably a combination of both. But
All right. I get it. You don't want to go to bed hungry. Going to bed hungry, you tend to kind of focus more on your stomach and hunger and all those kinds of things. And, you know, having something on your stomach. Now, I wouldn't eat right before going to bed. There's multiple potential issues with that. But, you know, just something light on your stomach so that you're not, you know, really, really hungry can also be beneficial. So watching your meal timing and then, the hunger can also cause some biochemical changes. You know, it can be that the hunger itself can be a little activating. So avoid going to bed hungry. You don't want to do that.
Okay. So would you recommend a couple hours before going to bed? Is that ideal?
I think 2 to 3 hours for most people. And there's a lot of individuality, so I would just be careful with this part. But, 2 to 3 hours I think is reasonable, but some people need to space it out a little bit further. Some people may need to eat closer to bed because of blood sugar irregularities or something along those lines. So just kind of watch your own biochemical makeup. And 2 to 3 hours I think is reasonable.
Cool. Number 8. Let's get into it.
Yeah. So this one is, tell me about the environment in your bedroom.
I'm going for the very bare look without any like artwork on the walls.
Okay.
The white walls. So I know that I'm really selling this right now. But you got the blue comforter and then the white walls and nothing else.
Kind of like the Apple Store.
It's kind of like my room is kind of like the Apple Store.
So it's a thing.
It's a look. It's an interior design.
Okay.
Apple Store.
And is that kind of like having the spool as your coffee table in the
living room? That's right. That's exactly right.
All right. So the environment in which you sleep matters. Now, when you turn off the lights and you lay down to go to sleep, how much light is there in your room?
It's pretty dark.
Okay. Do you have any light?
No.
No LEDs, no nothing?
No LEDs, no.
Can you wave your hand in front of your face and see it at all?
No.
Okay.
It is dark.
And that is one piece of this. You know, the adjust your environment is actually a big... it's a big category. There's a lot of things that go under that. So how much light is in your room? A lot of people have an alarm clock right on their nightstand, and it'll be staring them right in the face. And then especially if you're having trouble sleeping, you look over the clock and you're like, crap, I got to get up in 3 hours and I'm still not asleep. And that stresses you out about not going to sleep. And now you're trying to push a rope again. so I turn the alarm clock away. And sometimes I'll turn it face down. And I actually use my iPhone as my alarm clock. And so I'll turn it face down. And of course, there's no light coming off of it at all. And I use, I've got a white noise machine that I use with that. And there's a little LED light on the top of it. So I'll put my phone on top of that to cover up that LED light. My intent is that there is absolutely no light whatsoever in that room. And that, for many people, can make a big difference. Now, tell me about the temperature. How do you set your temperature?
I set my current temperature is 70 degrees. Set it at 70.
And that's pretty good.
I'm going to go, while I can, I'm going to put a check in that box for me.
Boom.
Okay.
We'll take what we can get. You get an A in that category.
Okay, good.
So I haven't seen it, but I've got this vision of this very sleeked out room. And I mean, I'm going to give you an A there too. It's cool.
Okay.
Sounds like it's got a good vibe.
Yeah.
So the temperature, you want the temperature cool. Having the room cool and piling on blankets is a better way to go. I know for me, if it gets above 72, I'm telling my wife, we got to turn the air on, or we got to, something. I want it cooler. I sleep better. Those kinds of things. I like it a little bit more cool. So mine, 72 or below. A lot of the literature says 68 to 70, 72, somewhere in there. So if your room is 75 because you're trying to save money and you're sleeping well, great. If you're not sleeping well, suck it up and turn it down a little bit.
Okay. So temperature, 68, 72, that's the sweet spot if you want to get better sleep. If you're having trouble sleeping, let's try that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, one more piece on that is the noise. And I would throw in the white noise machine.
Okay.
There are studies, and again, these are referenced on the revolution.org/sleep webpage, where it's talking about white noise machines, and it's providing like a fan noise. Mine is a white noise app on my iPhone. And I use a certain one, and it works great. Love it. In fact, when the sound goes off, like if the electricity were to go out and my speaker died, then the lack of noise actually wakes me up.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
No noise, just lack of noise. When it shuts off, it wakes me up almost every time.
Sure.
So those things have been shown to be as beneficial as sleep medicine in some studies. So I strongly recommend them to a lot of people. It drowns out a lot of extraneous noise, you know, especially if you've got traffic that you can hear, you live near a street, railroad, something like that. Bring that volume up on that white noise machine to drown out most of that stuff, and it, you may be surprised at how much better you sleep.
Cool.
So, big deal.
What is the next step here?
So, step number nine, do you worry? Do you have any worries?
I try not to. I try so hard not to. But, you know, work pretty hard during the week.
Sure.
And so, you know, I'm thinking about what do I have to do tomorrow? What's kind of like the next thing tomorrow?
Right. Yeah. It's common. I mean, there's just a lot of people have so much stress that they're dealing with and their mind's constantly going. It's probably one of the things that I hear the most. Why can't you go to fall asleep? And they'll say, my brain just won't shut off. Mm-hmm. And there are some things that we can do to help with that. Some people are actually on benzodiazepines like Valium or Xanax or Klonopin or, you know, some of these kinds of sleep medicines to help with that. And they can't help. It's ultimately not the fix that I would recommend. And of course, if you listen to the last podcast, then, you know, those medicines are killing you anyway. So,
yeah.
And when you see some of the studies on Ambien, I mean, that stuff's just freaking awful. As far as some of the potential side effects, my former mother-in-law woke up one morning and she went in and thought someone had broken into her house and pillaged her home. She made an entire Thanksgiving dinner level of cooking, baking, the whole bit. Woke up, had no idea she had done any of it.
Oh gosh,
none.
Oh man.
And there were multiple stories that she told about that kind of thing. It was shocking. Some of the stuff that she did. She'd go out into her garage and her car was backed out and she had stuff hanging from the ceiling and she had spray painted them in a way that she wanted to spray paint them and she was wanting to get that done. But she went out and did it in the middle of the night in her sleep. Those are hypnotics. So you're not sleeping. It's not sleep, but you think you slept. You know, so anyway,
just don't remember being awake.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So not being able to turn your brain off is a big deal. So learning how to deal with your worries before you go to bed can help kind of calm some of that stuff down. And so that's step number nine. Deal with worries before bed. Try and get them taken care of if you can. Sometimes it's bigger than what you can take care of.
Cool. What's number 10?
So light exposure. We kind of covered that in adjust the environment, but also getting light during the day. Making it very clear and distinct, you know, especially when you get, you know, those the overcast days where lots of clouds and things like that. Getting some light therapy can make a big difference. In the summer, it's not as big of an issue, especially if you're outside playing a lot and things like that. But getting a little bit of light exposure can help.
Okay, so light exposure, it's good for the soul. It's good for a lot of things.
We talked
about it in one of the previous podcast episodes. Light exposure and the importance of it.
Absolutely.
And getting light.
Yeah.
Number 11.
Yeah. So this one is a big deal, and I hear the basically what it is no reading in bed. But we're going to expand that a little bit further. You know, you get some people that like open books and read, and they'll read before they go to bed. But what I see more common is screen time, whether that's your iPad, your phone, or television, or a laptop computer, sitting in bed using those devices. Now, those devices trigger in your brain in such a way that they're a little activating, so they can kind of keep you awake a little bit. So we want to minimize that screen time in the short, brief period before bed, much less in bed. But what I would ultimately say is for step 11 is nothing in bed except sleep and married people stuff.
Married people stuff. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Exactly.
Okay.
So those are the only two things. Don't do anything else. You want to associate laying down and going to bed with going to sleep. That's it. Because it's that same kind of Pavlovian response that we talked about with some of the other stuff, the schedule and timing and those kinds of things. If you go and lay down in bed and you think, okay, it's time to watch TV, your brain's kind of activating on some level and you got to shut that off.
Okay. And what is the final step here?
The last one is a sleep journal. And basically this is just logging or chronicling how you are sleeping, what time you went to bed, what time you woke up, what was your environment, what did you eat, trying to figure out. It's problem solving sort of, but it's data collecting on how are you sleeping and what is influencing your sleep. And some people it'll be shocking for them when they write down a lot of this stuff and they'll figure out, oh, every time I have trouble sleeping, this was going on. And it can really be an eye-opener for how you are sleeping and what's influencing your sleep.
Cool. I'm going to quickly recap all 12 of the steps here, okay? Yeah. And then kick it to you for the close. Cool. Number one, the 12 steps for better sleep hygiene. Number one, regular schedule. Number two, don't force the sleep. Number three, no smoking in the evening. Number four, no caffeine after lunch. Number five, no nightcaps. Number six, exercise 20 to 30 minutes, 4 or 5 hours before bed. Number seven, don't go to bed hungry. Number eight, adjust the environment. Number nine, deal with worries before bed. Number 10, the light exposure that you're getting. Number 11, no reading in bed. And number 12, keep a sleep journal. Okay, Dr. Edwards, to you for the close.
So these things can make a dramatic difference in how people are sleeping. And if you're having trouble sleeping and you come to my clinic, this is one of the first things that I'm going to recommend. Make sure that you get in a good sleep schedule. If you have shift work and you work nights or days and you're constantly adjusting, it can be a big disruptor to sleep. Do the best you can with what you have. Follow these 12 steps. We will often see good results, and it can make a big difference for a lot of people. And when you optimize that sleep, you're reducing stress, improving your immune system, reducing your chances of getting an infection and having Marshall's dad yell at you because you're not getting enough sleep, all of those kinds of things. So focus on those 12 steps. If you're not getting any better, come see us.
Okay. For more information, go to revolutionhealth.org/sleep to access all the show notes.
You got it.
Boom.
Thanks, Marshall.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards. Tune in next week where we'll be going against the grain.